Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar, a Dominican friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Jerome Zeiler, Father Stephen Alcott, and Father John Corbett. Let us start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we're going to talk about a part of the Rosary, the joyful mysteries. These are important. All the parts of the Rosaries are really important. They unite us with the most central aspects of our faith in Jesus Christ, and we want to help you to enter a little bit more deeply into the joyful mysteries in particular. But before we get to that, the actual mysteries, Father Jerome, could you give us some tips for praying the Rosary more generally?
I would highly recommend to everyone the book The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort. I think that's just a wonderful book for tips. He's the greatest, perhaps the greatest promoter of the Rosary there is, certainly one of the greatest. He had a great love for the Rosary. But he himself said it's difficult to pray the Rosary and to just really pay attention when praying the Rosaries. When praying the Rosary, it's actually maybe the hardest of all prayers to actually retain attentiveness. And he says, that's okay. You still get merit in everything as long as, you know, it's not intentional. So don't worry too much about that. It's very human. Even for him, he struggled to pay attention. But it is best when we meditate on the mysteries themselves. And he gave a couple tips, he gives several tips in the book, his book, The Secret of the Rosary. But two that I find very helpful is to have a particular intention for each decade that helps you be attentive to the importance of it when you're really praying for someone in particular, a distinct intention for each decade. I find that helpful. And then also to think about a particular virtue associated with the mystery. So just to give an example, you could do different ones, but you can also find lists of them and choose ones that you like and think about your own life and ways to you pray particularly for an increase in that virtue and ask Mary for her help to help you obtain that virtue. But like for the joyful mysteries in particular, for the Annunciation, you know, Mary demonstrates great humility and faith. So you could pray for one or both of those virtues. And then the Visitation, fraternal charity, the birth of our Lord, poverty of spirit, detachment from worldly things, the Presentation, the virtue of obedience, and the finding of the Christ child in the temple, a spirit of prayerfulness or piety, for example. And you can kind of bring them to memory and pray for those in particular and for each decade. And then I also think, especially with the joyful mysteries, I find it easiest with the joyful mysteries. Personally, other people are different, but my personal preference for relating them to my life, the mysteries to my life, I find it easiest to do that with the joyful mysteries. And I can share with you some tips that I try to think about when meditating on the mysteries in particular, but maybe it'd be good to talk a little more generally about the rosary first and how to pray the rosary best.
So as Dominicans, we each pray the rosary every day. So how about you, Father Stephen? And any tips from years of praying the rosary?
Sure. I find it helpful to draw on the meditation of others. I can't come up with great meditations on my own every time. But I have a book right in front of me here in the studio called Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book. His name is spelled P-E-Y-T-O-N, Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book. And it's something I'm on my second copy, and it's pretty dog-eared and beat up because I use it a lot. But it has a whole series of meditations on the mysteries so that you can pray the rosary 30 times until you start over again with the same set of meditations. I'll just read you one for the third joyful mystery on the Nativity. And this is reflecting on the joyful mysteries. The overall theme for this set of meditations is loving God. And this is something that really helps me kind of get into the mystery. Mary and Joseph found accommodations in one of Bethlehem's hillside caves. It offered some protection from the biting cold of a December night, nothing more. Air, heavy with moisture, seeping through damp earthen walls, stifling odors of cattle. Darkness made all the more emphatic by a lantern's frail light and the smallest patch of night horizon, too low for stars. Yes, there would be room here. And here, Mary and Joseph loved God as he was never loved on earth. God can be loved wholeheartedly anywhere. Loving God does not depend on the kind of place I'm in. It depends on the kind of person I am. So that would just a simple half-page meditation before that mystery. And for me, it's like I just don't have the meditational muscle, you know, to come up with something like that every time I pray. So, but there are a lot of great simple guides, you know, that you can draw from to really kind of help you. As a Dominican, I think a great principle is that a good preacher is a good thief. You know, you don't come up with all the stuff on your own. You listen to other people, what they have to say, what they have to preach, what they have to meditate, and you take that up and you help give that to others.
So that's the Rosary Prayer Book by Father Peyton.
Right.
And just this show takes things from a Dominican perspective. And just a note, Dominicans love to recommend books. and so we have two book recommendations. But any other tips from you, Father Corbett?
Well, there's a book. If we're talking about books of the Rosary, Hansers von Balthasar's got two small books from Ignatius Press. One is called Mary for Today, and another is called The Threefold Garland. And there are meditations on each mystery of the Rosary in both those books. So now von Balthasar is a little bit dense and convoluted, but he's also, by way of compensation, very rich, so that reading him is a little bit of a workout. But that's really not for the moment when you're praying the rosary. That's for background. And then when you go to the rosary, that's all in your mind, or as a kind of a habitual reference. One thing I would say is that it's useful. Old writers of manuals used to distinguish between kinds of theology. One of them would be ascetic theology, and the other would be mystical theology. Ascetical theology is basically the work we do with God, you know. Mm-hmm. Mystical theology would have reference to the work God does in us. So in the ascetics theology, it's our work. With mystical theology, it's God's work. And I think that you can approach the rosary validly both ways. And the way we've been talking about it so far emphasizes the work we do, the meditations we bring, and so on and so forth. But it's useful to remember that the rosary really is a way of encapsulating sacred scripture, right? I mean, the rosary we call scripture. And remember that scripture is itself a mediating reality. That is, a scripture, like the sacraments, is a channel to the presence of God and a place to an opening so that God can work in us. So that's why we don't have to have great meditations every time we come across the rosary. We can just say, all right, you tell me this is true. I'm here. I'm going to yield to it. So work whatever graces you want to work in me. Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, then off you go. And if you don't have a great idea, so what? The mysteries themselves are speaking or working in you because you've invited them in.
Mm-hmm. So prayer isn't like mindfulness or secular meditation, where it's a matter of us producing certain mental states, certain emotions and feelings, but rather it's allowing God an opportunity to work on us. All right, we better get on to actual mysteries of the rosary. These hopefully have been helpful tips about the rosary in general, but once you're there, you're on the field of the rosary, and specifically the joyful mysteries, we'd like to give a little help there. So the first of the joyful mysteries is the Annunciation. So, Father Jerome, any tips for approaching that mystery?
Sure. The one thing I like to do, that is true. I mean, it's absolutely impossible to avoid several unintentional distractions during the rosary, I think, for everyone. And St. Louis de Montfort really is clear about that. I remember the first time I read that, I was so happy to see that, you know, even he, it wasn't just me, you know, had a hard time. And yes, it's, as he said, it's very fruitful. It's the greatest, the most powerful prayer outside of the Mass itself. Even if some days, despite your best efforts, you know, you're praying for grace. It's the habitual intention to have have as models our Lord and Mary. And yes, Mary prays with us. So, but I do think it's helpful. I find it helpful to have like some questions in mind that I at least ask myself as I begin each decade. So,
you're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today by my fellow friars, Father Jerome Zeiler, Father Stephen Alcott, and Father John Corbett. And we've been talking about the joyful mysteries of the rosaries. And Father Jerome was about to tell us about the Annunciation, the first of the joyful mysteries.
Yeah, so what I try to do is, first, I do think, is there someone in particular I could pray this for? And sometimes I think of as a priest, a confession I heard, or a spiritual directee, or all kinds of things. You know, someone in particular I could pray this decade for. Then I do try to remind myself of the virtue, like, for example, for the Annunciation, faith or humility. And I pray for that. I intend to pray for the increase of that virtue. And then, you know, thinking of the Annunciation, you know, the question is the Lord speaking a word to me in any way? Am I listening attentively to the way the Lord speaks to me? Is he calling me to anything in particular? I try to think of on a great day, you know, my guardian angel, you know, I might, you know, silently in a wordless way pray to my guardian angel to, you know, guide my memory and imagination. But try to live that mystery in your own life. How is the Lord speaking to me? Let me say with Mary, let it be done to me according to thy word. So the second mystery, the presentation.
The visitation.
The visitation, sorry.
You're jumping ahead here.
The visitation. Again, you know, Mary immediately hears of a need of her cousin who is elderly and pregnant. And despite this amazing thing, the most amazing thing, the biggest thing that has ever happened in anyone's life, she's attentive to Elizabeth and her needs. And she just habitually goes to help Elizabeth. And, you know, so we can think, okay, there's a lot of things that are on my mind and on my heart. But, you know, just as a question, a passing question at least, is there someone in my life that God is calling me to help through prayer or word or deed?
And then would Father Stephen, would you like to add something on the visitation?
Sure. I think the Annunciation and the visitation in general, what I think is really beautiful about these mysteries is that they happen in such ordinary ordinary parts of everyone's daily life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everyone has work to do around their home, you know, and apparently that's what Mary was doing when the angel came to her. You know, everyone has someone that they can help, you know, a relative, someone who needs a little extra assistance. These are things that are just universal, and yet it's in these ordinary moments that God comes in and makes them profound. He doesn't, you know, we might expect that when God would come to do something really profound, he would pick a really special time or really well-known people, but he just picks very ordinary situations in life that no one, you know, it's just not special, you know. And so I think about in all of these mysteries, it's like these things happen in ways in just ordinary life, and it helps me to think like, yep, you know, God works in my ordinary life too.
Now the third of the joyful mysteries is really at the center of our faith. It's the incarnation, God become man, being born as Jesus Christ. And so, I mean, you can spend your whole life thinking about any of these, but this one in particular. Father Corbett, any tips on entering into that mystery of the Rosary, the incarnation, or the Nativity?
Well, I think that there are a couple of things to consider. One is the theme of the Virgin bearing the child. God doesn't take an already fully developed human potential and then crown it. We sometimes say that grace perfects nature, but that implies that you get yourself robustly in shape and clean out the temple and eat your spinach and get yourself in good moral working order.
So like the whipped cream on the top.
Yeah. And then God kind of comes in and kind of tops it all off. Well, congratulating you. God, you've done such a splendid job of preparing your life. I think I'll compliment your efforts with my own and we'll shake hands together after a job well done. No, it doesn't like that. God comes in, sees a human being, sees a mess, sees emptiness, breathes his word, and then life happens, you know. And that even for Mary, pure as she was, she didn't have the resources to bring the Son of God into the world. She received a grace. And God created a world out of nothingness, and out of the Virgin, he called forth the Savior. It's specifically a creative act of God that's meant to be parallel to the creation of the world on the first day. Okay, so that's one thing. The other is, of course, to recall to mind the mystery of the cross. Christmas does foreshadow the cross, the feeding trough, the wood of the stable, you know, calls to mind the wood of Calvary, the nakedness, the swaddling clothes too. They say the infant was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That reminds the reader of grave clothes. You know, mm-hmm. You don't normally swaddle a baby, right? You let him move around a little bit, usually. But the swaddling clothes is meant to signify the grave. So even at the middle of Christmas, you're thinking about the crucifixion. Can I go back to a couple of earlier mysteries?
Sure.
Connected to that is, with Christmas, the presence of the Lord. There's one of the lines in the Gospel of Luke where I think it's Elizabeth who says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" But that's a direct allusion to the Old Testament, where David is receiving the Ark of the Covenant. You know, he's receiving the Ark of the Covenant. He's dancing for joy before the Ark, because in the Ark they believe the presence of God dwells. So he says then to his men, "Who am I that the Ark of the Covenant should come to me?" So when Elizabeth says that, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She's saying that Mary is now the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of the Lord. Or, along the same lines, nothing shall be impossible for God, also in the Annunciation. Mm-hmm. Nothing shall be impossible for God. That's another allusion. It calls to mind the three men who visited Abraham and Sarah,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "Isaac will be born." And Sarah laughed, and then the angel said to her, "You know, this child shall come, for nothing is impossible for God." Now, this is Isaac, the beloved son, who's called forth for Sarah. Mm-hmm. And the beloved son in Scripture is always the one who was marked for death, the only son marked for death. So when you hear again in the Gospels, nothing shall be impossible for God, you're hearing that the child to be born will be, like Isaac, beloved and marked for a sacrificial death. That's why if you read the Scriptures for background, all of these allusions kind of cascade together to let you know that revelation is happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's profound. That was really great. All right, we got two more mysteries here, so we better say something about them. So the fourth is the presentation. So someone like to comment on the presentation, how we can enter more deeply into that mystery of the joyful.
Well, I'll just say quickly the questions I bring to mind at the beginning of each of those mysteries. Yeah, so the presentation is Mary is giving the Lord Jesus, who she received as a gift from him, the one she loves more than anything else in the world, you know, back to the Father. And this, I mean, she's offering him to the Father as basically she's surrendering him to the Father. Like she's asking him to bless the fruit of her womb, literally, and have the Father do with him whatever is his will. And this is where we can really pray for the gift of surrender, to surrender to God everything and to present to him everything that's in our lives and in our minds and in our hearts. And so just in the interest of time, that's a question I always ask. What's in my mind? What is in my heart? What is the Lord calling me to surrender? What is he calling me to present to him? To trust in his providence, his guidance, and everything else in this way. And then the finding of the Christ child in the temple, you know, Mary was in her love for Jesus. I mean, when he was lost and she didn't know where he was, she was really, that was disturbing. I think of my mother when I was lost, even for a few minutes, you know, how that's a mother's worst nightmare, to lose her child like that. So she was really disturbed in spirit, and she did not know where Jesus was. And, you know, as she says to him, why have you done this to be in my Father? You know, she felt that. So is there anything in our life that, you know, a mystery that we don't understand, like a question that we have that remains unanswered, or where we feel that the Lord is absent when we know he's not? He's doing the work of his Father, but we feel that he's absent, or we have some unanswered question, that also we can enter into that mystery with Mary.
Father Corbett, any words of wisdom on these last two mysteries, the joyful mysteries?
Well, let's see. The presentation in the temple, it's sacrificial language. As Father Jerome said, it's a matter of yielding to the presence of, yielding your own beloved child to the purposes of God, which is tied to the fifth mystery, the finding of the Christ child. Because, you know, that's one of the distancing mysteries, where Mary, as profoundly as she knows him, is made to, there's something a bit curt in the son's reply. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Implying that is something different from the concerns of Mary and Joseph. And in every family, every close relationship, we have to encounter the mystery in someone else that God's designs and purposes for another person can outstrip our own comprehension, and that when we face one another, we are also faced with mysteries, that we cannot simply appropriate another person to our own designs, because God, in fact, has appropriated them, him or her, for his designs. That's very hard for parents to learn.
Mm-hmm. Any last word of wisdom, Father Stephen?
I really love the mystery of the presentation of the Lord, especially because of Anna and Simeon, two people who were very old,
And just their perseverance, their sacrifice, their act of looking for God, just as Mary and Joseph actively searched for Christ. They sought and then they found. So it underlines for me the need to be willing to keep looking, to not give up, knowing that you will eventually find him.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a Dominican friar here at St. Patrick's Parish in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Jerome Zeiler, Father Stephen Alcott, and Father John Corbett. Now let's end in our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Creature of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Sanctus.